Hello and welcome to the Swiss Info Program. I'm Susan Masika. Remember when you were back in school and you had to do a project for a science fair? You probably worked on it for a few weeks in science class, and then you made a big, colorful poster showing what you'd learned. Or maybe you got to do something messy, like build a model volcano that oozed fake lava all over the gym floor and ruined somebody's shoes. An international school in Switzerland has put a new spin on the traditional science fair. Educators there hope to boost students' enthusiasm for science and the natural world. But in addition to improving science education, this new approach could have a much greater impact that extends beyond the school walls to the broader scientific community. SwissInfo journalist Celia Luterbacher traveled to the Lausanne American School to attend this unusual science fair and to see what projects the students have been working on.
So walking through the forest, you can see footprints, especially now because it's snowing, and the animal, the chamois, it's like a small goat, and they like to come down when there's a lot of snow, so you can see their footprints. And if you just take a picture of that, if you know what animal made that print, in our case, we knew it was a chamois, we can upload it to the app. And if it's incorrect, other people, such as scientists, can correct us.
That was Alex, a ninth grade student at the Lausanne American School, or LAS, an international English language boarding school in the mountains of eastern Switzerland. Today is the school's third annual Globe Day, a unique science fair inspired by a NASA science education program of the same name. Alex and her project partners are presenting a poster that describes using a smartphone app called iNaturalist to snap and share photos of the animals and animal signs, like footprints, droppings, or nests, that they observe in the forests surrounding their school. But this is no Instagram. The scientific information that the students capture in these photos becomes part of an online database accessible to people all over the world, including scientists.
Considering the climate change and the global warming, it's really important for us to know when seasons change to save animals and plants. It's really helpful for science in general. Another part of this was to involve just citizens into science.
As Alex's project partner Christina explains, regularly reporting sightings of local animal species and observations about their behavior can help scientists track seasonal changes in the forest ecosystem. Over the long term, this type of study, known in the scientific world as phenology, can be used to monitor larger trends, such as climate change or the arrival of invasive species. Involving non-scientists, like secondary school students, in the collection of data is a practice known as citizen science. In fact, it's a main theme of the Globe Day, which is organized by the recently established LAS Alpine Institute. John Harlan, the Alpine Institute's director, says that the new program is designed to connect students to their local environment through science and outdoor education, and that citizen science plays a major role in this effort.
One of the differentiations of citizen science is that the research that you do, the data that you gather, gets collected and is stored and becomes useful. So it's shared with other people, maybe combined with other data, which the normal system in the education program is that kids will do a particular research project, and when they're done with it, it essentially goes into the trash. And so it might do a great job of teaching the students a certain something, but it doesn't actually contribute to science. And this notion of actually contributing to science has been shown to engage students more in their learnings.
This year's Globe Day is special because for the first time, students from four other Swiss international schools have also been invited to Lausanne to share their science project posters in the packed gymnasium. The event is set up much like a real scientific conference, with the students taking turns explaining their own posters and walking around the room to ask questions about other students' projects.
So it's just like coming to this conference here. It makes them work harder on their project and care more about the project they're doing because they're sharing it. Well, likewise, if the science that they're doing actually contributes to something bigger and matters, then that gives it more meaning to them. And so hopefully they'll care about pursuing it more.
At another table, Hermann and Jawa, also LAS ninth graders, are presenting a poster illustrating their project. Herman explains that it involves using the iNaturalist app to record forest ecology observations and to recruit more citizen scientists.
We are going to set up a sign in our local forest and have instructions on how to download iNaturalist. So when people come for a hike, they just record what they see and they can go online and see some interesting stuff.
And what's the most interesting tree they photographed using the app? For Jawa, it's the larch tree, an unusual conifer with needles that drop off in the fall instead of remaining evergreen.
The most interesting, we think, is larch because it falls needles, which other trees don't do it, and it's super special. And it also turns color during the winter, so that's like quite interesting to study.
It's not hard to see how getting out into nature to learn about science can be more interesting and engaging for students than sitting in a classroom. But do citizen science activities like those presented at the LAS Globe Day actually produce data that are useful to scientists? Science teacher Dan Patton explains how the long-term collection of forest ecology data by Liaison students is being developed into more than just an educational exercise.
We look at trees and tree speciation and tree sizes, and we're going to, over time, be able to look at changes in tree populations at different elevations and growth rates of tree populations, and hopefully be able to notice when things like invasive species arise. Eventually, the data will be shared to the broader community, and we're starting to do that. We need to put it in a form that's accessible to scientists, and we need to add the metadata so that scientists can use it. But students have presented on this data. Students have compared year-to-year data, and we're looking at somewhere down the road getting scientific publication and definitely education publication out of the data.
Globe Day had some special guests, like National Geographic's Emeritus Vice President for Research, Conservation, and Exploration, John Francis. He traveled all the way to Liaison to speak to the students, describing his career experiences as a researcher and wildlife filmmaker. Francis says that citizen scientists can provide valuable data that researchers might not otherwise have access to.
The idea is that with the simple photograph and the knowledge of where it was taken, plus these increasingly powerful photo recognition software, that people just out in the wilds can not only make a record of what they see, which can be powerful in numbers for scientists, but they can be fed back identities and information, I hope in real time, and become true explorers and who understand the way the planet works and all the little important parts that are unfortunately fast disappearing.
Scientists, you know, they have multi-million dollar equipment and research funding. And what is it that citizens, and particularly young people, students, can do that scientists can't?
Well, a lot of the cost of getting good data is arriving at the location. You know, whether it's, you know, feeding scientists, flying them to a location like Liaison here. But what if the people who actually live here or study here can be the observers? And suddenly you've eliminated the logistical costs and difficulty of getting images and records, you know, across the season, perhaps. Making the world empowered and mobilized ends up being highly efficient. I am convinced that the power of citizen science is going to change the way we look after the planet.
Another guest, Chris McCohen, works as a marine conservation researcher with the United Nations Environment Program World Conservation Monitoring Center and the University of Cambridge. One of his tasks, leading a group brainstorm with some of the students.
You see all of these issues that are going on in the world, and you don't know what to do about it, and it's constant negativity. So what I want you to do is to split yourself into three groups. Can marine conservation help plastic and overfishing? Give you 5 minutes. There's post-it notes here. Yes, it can help. No, it can't help. I don't really know.
Like John Francis, McCohen also believes that citizen scientists will have an increasingly crucial role to play in research and conservation.
So there's a lot of issues in the ocean, overfishing, pollution, plastic pollution, and we've not really done a good job at tackling it. And it's the reliance on the middle-aged white guy in a lab coat in an academic university to fix this. But what I really think is we need to empower children, we need to empower adults, young adults, people that are interested and get their passion and interest to make a difference. And citizen science is a real way that we can take their passion and their enthusiasm and make a difference.
Plans for citizen science at LAS include creating more opportunities for students to participate in data analysis as well as data collection. Also, a snow study, where citizen scientists will be able to snap pictures of snow depth in key areas to help government researchers fill in missing seasonal snowfall data. For John Harlan, the long-term benefits of a good science education go hand in hand with the environmental importance of the data that he hopes future generations of LAS students will continue to collect and share.
And a big part of the goal of what we're doing here is to institutionalize the research we're doing on the local hillside so that it carries on long after I'm gone, any of these teachers. Obviously, the students turn over regularly, but if that study can go on for decades, then we actually have a long-term climate research study that's going on just because of the stability of the school, not the stability of the individuals who are doing it.
For more on this story, including photos of the students working on their projects, visit us at swissinfo.ch. This program was produced by Celia Luterbacher. Thanks for listening, and thank you to studio technician Donnie Wheeler. I'm Susan Masika.